Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big money in your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect finish for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, view our weekly flyer on Menards.com and get your painting project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
It's the opening kickoff with Carver and Lisi.
Welcome back, Carver and Lisi. I am not Carver, nor am I Lisi. We will be joined by Joe Lisi in a few minutes here. I am George Kurtz, covering in for Carver tonight. Carver still struggling after that Buffalo Bills brutal loss Monday night. And speaking of brutal losses here, Ravens, they lost Andrews. We don't know exactly what the injury there is. It looked like to an ankle injury when he was rolled up on there on the reception inside the five-yard line on the first drive there. And now on their last drive, Lamar Jackson also left the game as he was scrambling to his right there. Scramble. Eventually, when he was tossed the ball away and taken down, he had his ankle landed on it. It looks like he is back in the game here. So we'll see the play calling here changes somewhat. You know, what his mobility is like here, especially as the game goes on here, and that ankle might stiffen up a little bit here. Other than that, Cincinnati has just missed a field goal here, so the Ravens have the ball in great field position just inside their own 50 here, first and 10. They lead the game 17-3. Second quarter has just started. The only touchdown in this game was a Gus Edwards rush of a couple of yards there. So Ravens up 7-3 here. To get you caught up on around the sports world, I'm the hockey guy here. So we're going to talk NHL. All right, and Vegas and Montreal playing the Bond Burner up in Canada. They're 4-4 in that game there. End of the second period. Third period just started in Columbus. That game is tied at 1. I guess that'd be the opposite of the Bond Burner. The Tampa Bay Lightning have not scored a goal now in a week. All right, they've been shut out in back-to-back games. Still being shut out tonight. End of 1. Chicago leads 1-0. All right, 5-4 Ottawa. One beat Detroit earlier today. That game was in Sweden. Sweden. As we welcome in our radio audience here. I'm George Kurtz. I'll be joined by Joe Lisi. This is Carver and Lisi, so you didn't go to the wrong place here. Mike Carver is on assignment. Joe Lisi was on the TV side for the first hour on Pro Football Today. He will join us for the second hour, so we'll see what Joe has to say about this game, about Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson. See what his feelings are here. I know I'm not happy about this game because I have the over. And losing Mark Andrews alone is brutal to me. I think that really hurts this offense in total here. That just changed what they can do here. Is their most important pass catcher on that team. And if Lamar Jackson, if his mobility is hampered, well, that's not good either. So that's a problem as well here. So worried about that tonight. I said I had a lot of over props here. I'm on a Jamar Chase over prop here, and he has.
You know what, George? I got a question for you, George, before Lisi gets in, man, because it's a hockey question. You're the hockey guy. What are you doing with your team tonight, the Islanders, after their disappointing loss yesterday since they gave up that lead? But they played well, man. You guys got Horvath back. Do you guys think you could win on the road in Seattle tonight?
Islanders are minus 102, so Seattle's minus 118.
Both teams played last night, so you get no advantage then. I think there is something to that, by the way, that you know certain teams don't play as well the second half of back-to-back nights. But it's even here. You're going to get the starting goal.
George, they both blew a lead, man. Seattle had that game in their back pocket yesterday, a 3-1 lead, and they give it up, and they lose in overtime to the Oilers. So both teams coming up really disappointing losses, man. But if anything, I think the Islanders played better. They deserved to win that game yesterday with Horvat. They played pretty well on the road against Vancouver for while it lasted.
Yeah, I might disagree with you about how well the Islanders played, by the way. They were outshot. They were outshot pretty badly, and it seemed like Vancouver was living in the Islander zone. The game might have been close with Demko. Maybe a couple of those goals he should have stopped. You could probably say anything about Sorokin there. The others, listen, I think this is an even game tonight, so I think they have it right. Minus 118 to minus 102 there. I know Dave said he likes the over. I kind of lean to that as well. It's over 5.5. Usually we take unders with the Islanders, but I think both teams can have a little tired legs here. May give us a chance for goals, especially in the third period. Bottom line is this. Islanders can't protect the lead right now. We've seen this over and over and over again. They have multiple goal leads. They had a multiple goal lead last night. 3-1. Choked it up. And they can't stay out of the penalty box. So I'm going to have to go with Seattle here. I'm going to go with Seattle in the over, but there's not big plays in either one. You know, I don't feel great about it that it's going to be an easy one here. You might want to look at power play props for Seattle. I mentioned the Islanders, they cannot stay out of the box over and over and over again. Baltimore, by the way, goes 3 and out here. Lamar Jackson did, and he actually attempted a rush. So I guess the ankle's feeling pretty good, but they do go 3 and out. They waste that good field position. I might look at Seattle props on the power play. You know, Jaden Schwartz has been hot. Maybe you want to go grab him. I can see you going after Bjorkstrand is another guy I kind of like here to get power play points. Maybe Ben Years, another guy to get power play points there. Kind of like those props there. But like I said, this wouldn't be a big play at all. The game, the big game of the hockey tonight would be Florida and L.A. Dave and I started to talk about that. That's when Lamar Jackson got hurt, I believe. So we'll see about that. That's probably your game of the night. Kings minus 134, favorites, Florida plus 112. I want to ask Dave before he left how he feels about a team that hasn't played all week. LA hasn't played since Saturday. So that's 5 days off. Florida did play early in the week. That worries me somewhat here. But I'm going to be on the Kings here, and I'm probably going to be on the under as well. I don't think this will be a high scoring game. So.
I'm with you, George. I'm with you on the Kings. I like the Kings. You know, I think we got Lisi in the house now. Joe Lisi, what's going on, baby?
Oh, Mateus, you kill me. You know, even when I come on and I'm talking to you, you don't listen. How is tonight? How are we doing, boys?
Mr. Jolie. Joe, you and I haven't worked together in a while. How you doing, Joe?
Gentleman George Kurtz. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Doing well, Joe. Doing well. Probably not happy about the Mark Andrews injury, seeing as though I have several bets on Baltimore, including props, where I expect points to be scored in this game. So that's not good for me at all. So other than that, listen, it's hard to complain too much. We hit the over field goal prop, all right, 47.5, got the 48-yard field goal, and I had the first touchdown with Gus Edwards. I sort of covered the board there, Joe. Cheating a little bit. Gus Edwards, Jamar Chase, Andrews, and I forget the other, Tyler Boyd. Just needed one of them to hit to win money.
Oh, good. We're going to get into the whole slate of Week 11 in terms of early looks, George. There's some great games in regards to this weekend in terms of the NFL. Obviously, the college slate as well that we can break down. I heard you talking about the NBA in terms of the Thursday and Friday slate. Nothing better than that. But this is what it's all about, right, in terms of the final stretch run for college football and, more importantly, the NFL.
It is, right? This is when the games get more important, right? They mean more now. We're in November. It's cold, right? You and I live here in the Northeast. It's cold. And it feels like football weather now. So these divisional games are so important. And, Joe, let's face it. At the prime outside of the Bills and Denver Monday night, the standalone games last week, if you include the Germany game, I'll take just about anything, any kind of competitive game between two good teams, I'll take it.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully we get better action in regards to that. And we obviously have that big ball game on tap in terms of Philadelphia, Kansas City, rematch of the Super Bowl. Can Jalen Hurts and the Philadelphia Eagles get them back on track and rebound after their Super Bowl loss at the hands of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce? Just getting started right here on Carver and Lisi. We'll come back with more NFL and college football. Keep it where it is, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
On Carver and Lisi. Oh, Paradise City. Nothing better. Holiday week on tap. A little turkey, a little football. But we got week number 11 this coming weekend, Sunday. Great slate of action. Joined by gentleman George Kurtz. George and I kick it around all off season in regards to all full circle as well. George, always a pleasure. I know that your Dallas Cowboys are a mainstay in terms of Thanksgiving Day along with the Detroit Lions, but Dallas opens up this weekend against a sneaky Carolina team that's catching double digits, George, this weekend against Dak and Tony Pollard. You're feeling confident that the Cowboys will just roll the Panthers this Sunday.
I don't think they'll roll like they did the Giants. All right, so roll, yes, but not, I guess, destroy and wreck. I mean, it's on grass. Cowboys are 2-8 in the last 10 games on grass. Granted, Carolina is a bad, bad team. All right, so they'll take care of business there, but I think Dallas also realizes they have a game 4 days later. You just said it. They play on Thanksgiving. They're going to want to win and get out of Dodge, that sort of thing. Business trip, win, let's go. You know, so I think they're going to try and pull guys, assuming they can get a nice lead in the second half, get out of there. You know, not look to hammer them like they sort of did the Giants there. Dallas also a different team on grass than they are on turf. They're at 17-1 in the last 18 artificial turf games or stuff that the cows can't eat. So for whatever it is, Carolina bad team, Dallas good team. If you don't want to give the points, fine, but you're not taking them. All right, just leave the game alone. Then I don't think it's enough. I think Dallas is going to win this game, 31-13, somewhere around there. You know, once again, game, get out. I think this is a teaser opportunity as well. Tease the Cowboys down to 4.5, and find another game you like.
Well, it's interesting because I think you look at this game broad-based too, right? Because of how San Francisco has rebounded with the dominating road win over Jacksonville, and you see Dallas right behind San Francisco. As a Cowboy fan, the perception is that this offense can go toe-to-toe with anybody, but then you face them against a good elite defense like San Francisco, and they get knocked around, right? In a playoff type of situation, the market believes that Dallas potentially is the third or fourth best team when we talk about Detroit in terms of what they've been able to do. And obviously, you have the 1-2 punch of Philly and San Fran. Can Dallas crash the party? What do you need to see? I mean, here's the thing. Do you feel confident that all things considered, forget this game against Carolina, right? And forget Thursday. Bigger picture, if your team gets in and potentially, you know, faces San Francisco, and they, let's just say, have to go on the road, are you confident that they could potentially knock this team off, or are you staring their third straight loss in the playoffs in the face?
You know, it's funny. If the season ended today, and wouldn't that be disappointing, Dallas would be going to San Fran again. All right, that's how it would work out. They're lined up right now. Do I think they can beat San Fran? Well, no. They lost at home, lost last year on the road, and they've already lost this year on the road. And by the way, this year, they didn't lose. They got train wrecked.
They got crushed.
Right. That was a dumpster, whatever you want to call it. Are they a different team since then? Well, maybe. I mean, we know they're playing, their scoring points are better. They look better, but you know, you imploded against the Eagles. That should have been a win. You gave that game away. You had four chances from the 6-yard line to score and win the game. You didn't. So that's a problem. All right, then, yeah, listen. Great, you beat the Giants. I know, we all know the Giants suck. All right, but you know, still, hey, you play your schedule. They look better since, really, they changed offense a little bit. I think, listen, Joe, you mentioned, you and I did football full circle. You've already heard me going bananas when McCarthy made that stupid comment that all Kellen Moore wanted to do was score points. I want to run the damn ball. It made no sense then, and then McCarthy seems to realize now, oh, we are a passing team. Gotta throw the ball. You know, that's where they're gonna make their money here. And they change the offense around where they're throwing the ball more, but more importantly, they're putting players in motion. And not just lining up, laying in the same place over and over and over again. They're moving around. They're moving other players around as well. They look more creative on offense, and it's making it difficult for teams here. But I'm the first person to tell you, until Dak wins the big game. And by the way, beating the Giants is not a big game. Beating Carolina is not a big game. If they beat Washington at home, not a big game. You know, you got to beat Philly. All right, you got to beat Philly in that next game. You should have beat him already. I said it during that game, tweeted it out. I'm like, if Dak can rewrite his history right here with a win, when he rewrote history.
Yep.
And he choked.
But you know,
so until he does that, Joe, no, nothing
George. You know what the difference is, and you're right about that game against Philly, is that even you look at that ball game, because in order to beat Philadelphia, you have to be balanced, right? And what's the strength of Philadelphia in terms of their defense? It's the front seven. No team can run on them up until this point in the season. They are a dominant front seven. You couldn't run on San Francisco either. If you're going to go on the road in terms of a playoff environment, you like teams that can run the football and force turnovers. Dallas in a big spot. When you look at that ball game, 16-12 last year, every throw was short to it. Land, they can get going. The rushing attack of Zeke and Pollard was inconsistent. You're going to need Tony Pollard in this offensive line to potentially carry you if you're going to make a run at the Philadelphia Eagles for an NFC championship. And that's really, it sounds crazy. The offense could go toe-to-toe with anybody in terms of the passing attack when Dak is on. But big picture, if they're a Super Bowl contender, you actually need the rushing attack to take over. And that's where Pollard's been non-existent right now.
I agree. The bottom line is this. I think Dallas knows they're even with Philadelphia, right? They can play with Philly. They split last year. It looks like they might split this year if Dallas can win in when they play in a couple of weeks, right? I don't think they're all that worried about Philly. And I'm not saying they'll beat Philly. I'm saying they're not worried about Philly. They know they can play with them. Got break here, break there. You know, they'll beat Philly. All right. Remember, Philadelphia put the ball on the ground three times in that first game versus Dallas. All three of the ball bounced back to them. You talk about luck. I think they would think it's a 50-50 game. Right now, San Fran's not 50-50. It ain't 60-40. All right, San Fran is a better team. Some teams match up better against others than others. And right now, San Fran is just a really bad matchup for the Cowboys. All right, they don't match up well. You heard Trent Williams after that Dallas San Fran game. Now, listen, I don't know if he's just talking smack or if he's saying the truth there. He goes, you know, usually after we play Dallas, we're beat up, we're sore. It's a physical game. I feel fine. Dallas wasn't physical that game. Was Dallas a little afraid? You know, that sort of thing. It makes me wonder why that game was different for whatever reason there. So, listen, it is what it is. But I can tell you, as a Cowboy fan, I am not looking forward to facing the 49ers. I will take anybody else. I am hoping, for Dallas to get where they want to go, that somebody eliminates San Fran first.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, we'll see how that game plays out. Obviously, should that matchup take place in terms of the 6-3, Carolina 1-8, Frank Reich taking over the play calling duties yet again from former Georgia Bulldog running back Thomas Brown, that had the play calling duties. I think Frank Reich is an absolute train wreck. I've said it to Carver multiple times. I'll keep pounding this drum. He didn't even deserve this job in Carolina. Should have given it to Steve Wilkes for the job that he did last year. It wouldn't shock me if Frank Reich is a one and done. Picture, doesn't coach up the quarterback position, didn't do a great job in terms of Indianapolis. His best quarterback was Phillip Rivers. Outside of that, Wentz and all the garbage that he had in Indy, just amazing in terms of these retreads. What do you think about Detroit, though, quickly? Can they make some noise? Like, if they had a home field advantage in the playoffs, can they go to the NFC Championship game from what you see right here in week number 11?
Well, there's a good chance. We don't talk about Detroit enough. There's a good chance they could end up being the team that has home field advantage. Their schedule is cake.
I know.
I guess you've seen the schedule. They don't play anybody. They play Dallas in week 17. I think they could be a big problem here. We know they can score points. You know, a defense has to be better, but it could be good enough here. My question would be this. Can Goff not make the big mistake?
Yeah, that's a key question. Goff, a Super Bowl quarterback that got them there against New England. We'll come back more week 11 in the NFL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Leasty in the cockpit today for Carver. Back tomorrow. with our college and pro picks. And then we got the holiday edition coming up next week. Unbelievable. Thanksgiving break on the horizon. Nothing better than a little turkey and football on that Black Friday special with a little Missouri and Arkansas. Joined by gentleman George Kurtz, bringing a little NFC, talking about Dallas Cowboys with the upcoming game against Carolina. Also touched on whether this team led by Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions that might have a home playoff advantage in the playoffs, can they make a run? And we left off talking about Jared Goff, right? Jared Goff, George, putting up huge numbers. He looks like the quarterback that he was there in terms of McVay and the L.A. Rams, right, where he went toe-to-toe with Pat Mahomes and he was just putting up 300-yard performances each and every week. They can run it with Montgomery and Gibbs, and they could chuck it like they did last week against the L.A. Chargers, 333 yards through the air and in terms of the 41-38 victory. But I have to be honest, you know, they're under the radar in the sense of, I don't think from a perception standpoint, a lot of backers or people are buying into Detroit as being a legitimate Super Bowl contender. But if you look at the resume, they're right there. They could go toe-to-toe with San Francisco. And I think in the right type of setting, they could probably go toe-to-toe potentially to strike the upset over Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's, you know, 10 out of 10 games, but in the right type of setting, you never know. They might be able to knock them off.
Listen, I think we're talking about Detroit like they're not a good team. It's a really good team. I'd give them more than an average shot to beat either San Fran or Philadelphia. Do I think they're as good as them? No. But we're also talking about the chance that it's also the Super Bowl, I guess the road to the Super Bowl in the NFC would go through Detroit. All right? They play Chicago. They're not losing Chicago. Then they play Green Bay on Thanksgiving. I ain't losing to Green Bay. Then they go to at New Orleans. All right, tougher game, but I don't see a loss there. Chicago again. Denver at home. Okay, tougher game. Yeah, we'll see. At Minnesota? All right. At Dallas? You know, how many losses do we see there? Two, three at most? I mean, that's at most that things could go wrong. They play Minnesota last game of the season as well, and we don't know what that'll mean for either team. So there's a chance that, once again, you might have to go through Detroit here. I mean, the Philadelphia schedule is tougher, right? They're playing Kansas City Monday night. You know, we know they got to play Dallas again. I think they got Buffalo on the schedule. I know Buffalo might have some issues, but they got to still win the games here. You know, so like I said, it's not out of realm of possibility that we're going through Detroit here. Do I think that? Like I said, I would put Detroit probably the fourth best team in the NFC overall. You know, I have I probably had Philly, San Fran, Dallas, Detroit. But I think it's very close there, especially between the top two and the three and four. Yeah, you know, I think very little separates these teams.
You see, where I disagree, right, is the way they're playing right now, and they rushed for 200 on the Chargers last week. Right, put up 500 yards plus of total offense. That you, in my opinion, right, they have a quarterback, and love him or hate him, that did lead his team to a Super Bowl against Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Didn't win, but he's still battle-tested enough that he won an NFC championship. We can't say that about Brock Purdy. We certainly can't say that about Dak Prescott. So, for me, I would go Philly and then Detroit, based off the body of work in regards to that. Am I crazy to think that?
I don't think you're crazy. I would disagree, but I would respectfully disagree. I think it's an argument, a debate, but I wouldn't go like, oh, Joe's out of his mind, he's smoking the good stuff again. No, I don't think that. Like I said, just because I had Detroit at four doesn't mean I don't think they're a good team. I might disagree with the Goff thing. He played like crap against New England.
He still got his team there. Is my point, right?
He did.
From an experience perspective, he's got that NFC championship type of experience where, you know, even though Purdy got there, didn't win, got hurt, and Dak, as we know, hasn't led his team to the promised land.
That's fair. That's completely fair. You know, Jalen Hurts is the only one, really, of these guys who I would trust that can do it again. You know, we do know that, yes. All right, we know, listen, the Dak, I'm not going to go through that again. We know Dak can't win big games. All right, we've seen that over and over again. And Purdy, you said, got hurt. Didn't give him the chance to win the big game. Maybe he would have, maybe he wouldn't have. You know, but when it comes to Purdy, I'm not so sure if Shanahan truly believes. I think he thinks he has this guy, but doesn't truly know. And we probably won't know, Joe, until the playoff run, until we see what he does under the truly bright lights here. But if you're asking me right now, I don't know if I truly trust Jared Goff. I need to see it when he's facing the big boys. How's he going to look when he's got Micah Parsons or Joey Bosa running at him? You know, we'll see. You know, Jalen Carter, who I think, once again, Detroit, probably as much as I love Gibbs, I still think Detroit should have drafted Carter. We'll see how when he's got the big man coming at him in the big games.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. Actually, this week against the Bears, I like the Bears plus the 7.5. I think the line is a little fishy to me. 7.5 has me leaning towards the Bears. I could be crazy in terms of this matchup. I might change my mind as this week progresses. But right now, leaning to Chicago, leaning to the under, too, because there's no way Chicago's offense is built to go toe-to-toe with Detroit in terms of a shootout, right? The only way they could potentially cover this line is to run it, shorten the game, and hope that you're standing in terms of the fourth quarter of that ball game. I do want to talk, let me ask you this. I want to talk about the AFC for a second. And I want to talk about the Buffalo Bills. From a mentality and just a confidence level, do you think, and knowing that everything that's going on, McDermott fires Ken Dorsey, and it's supposed to add maybe a boost to this team, Josh Allen looks shell-shocked. If I would have told you the Buffalo Bills at the start of the year, entering week 11, were going to be 5-5 overall, and potentially on the outside looking in at minus 220 to not make the playoffs, would you have believed that, even though they had the off-the-field issues with Stephon Diggs and Allen?
No, I wouldn't have believed that. I wouldn't have. I first thing I would ask you, oh, Josh Allen got hurt? No, Allen got hurt, or Diggs got hurt. You know, I think those are two guys they couldn't afford to lose there. I don't know if it's all Dorsey's problem. I do think it's part of the coordinator, sure. I think McDermott's also part of it for, stripping some of his authority out of it. I think it's also a factor of Los Milano and Trey White. All these problems either have happened since that. All right, so you lost your two best players on defense. You're struggling here somewhat. Josh Allen has to stop turning the football over. You know, I know Dan Orlovsky of ESPN tried to defend him over and over again, sort of blaming, once again, the coordinator for not that Josh Allen want, you know, he had to feed the beast. In other words, what Allen wants to get chunk yardage plays, and they're not doing it enough to feed him. You know, and that's why he's turning the ball over, because he's trying to hit big plays when they aren't there. Well, that's still Allen's fault. You know, you can't do that. So, there's problems galore here on this team. But to answer your question, no. Well, without the injuries, I would have thought, no, there's no way they're 5-5, Joe. What are you talking about?
It's really crazy. Now, I thought Dorsey deserved to be fired just because of how he coached this team in terms of the play calling. I mean, it was run after run after run. Lat Murray, the guy's, I keep saying, 100 years old. I mean, I understand the guy doesn't fumble and he's a short yardage back, but you know what you're getting in terms of Lat Murray, the explosiveness. They don't utilize James Cook enough in terms of the right way, even in the short to intermediate passing game. We'll see. I mean, again, this AFC is wide open, George. I still don't believe that, you know, we've seen the best in terms of the team hitting stride, whether it be Buffalo, whether it be a team like Jacksonville, whether it even be a team like Cleveland that has multiple issues and concerns now without Deshaun Watson at the helm. I still think there's a team that we're not talking about now that can make a stretch run and hit stride. It's all about catching that team in terms of momentum, right? We've seen it each and every year. Jacksonville last year, they hit stride towards the end of the regular season. They knock off L.A. in terms of the wild card and almost potentially strike the upset against Kansas City, cover the 11.5-point number. There's going to be a team in this AFC. Maybe it's Pittsburgh, and I know that they're playing for their lives this week in terms of potentially number one seeding for the AFC North, but there's going to be a team that has great value that's going to come out of nowhere over the next last regular season, weeks into the regular season, right? 4-5.
So a team in the AFC that comes out of nowhere.
Yep.
Boy, not Pittsburgh.
Okay, so if I gave you a grand, who would you say could come out of the? Would it be Buffalo at 5-5? Would you be willing to take that shot?
I don't think they'd be the come out of nowhere team, so they probably don't fit your parameter correctly.
Yeah, but they're dead and buried right now. They're 500. They're plus 370 now to win the AFC East.
If you give me, if you're putting Buffalo, I'll take Buffalo. All right, I don't think they're that far off here. I think the offense can be fixed. They have a plus 78 point differential. I understand it's really from a couple of games. I get that it was early in the season, but I think the offense is easier to fix than the defense. You know, I just think that once again, you're not getting Trey White back this season. You're not getting Milano back this season. You can't fix that. The offense has been productive with the guys they have. Yeah, I think it can be fixed here. It just needs a little work, maybe a little in-season work, which I know can be difficult in football. And that's my other point to you, Joe. Now, you and I have been watching football forever. When was the last time a coordinator change mid-season worked?
That was saving face. That's all that was, George. Saving face.
I agree.
So that McDermott could just coach another day. That's all that was. When George and I return, baby, weekly specials. We'll dive into those. We'll wet the palate a little bit, try to make you some money. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For week number 11 in the NFL. Lisi driving the bus today. Kurt's in the cockpit as well, breaking down all the games for the upcoming weekend in regards to the NFL. Left off talking about the challenges for Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills. Going to jump into some weekly specials on FanDuel, and we have some fun with these. George and I did these throughout the regular season last year in terms of football full circle. So, George, let's wet the palate. This is where you can get some great value in regards to the highest scoring and lowest scoring games. So this is Sunday only. Doesn't include the primetime or Monday night action, okay? Highest scoring game. The front runner is the Cardinals and Texans. You got a little Kyler Murray. You got a little C.J. Stroud coming off his dominating 356-yard performance and 30-27 win on the road over Joey Silk and Cincinnati 5-1. The Bears and Lions at plus 550. Raiders and Dolphins at 6-1, which I have no confidence in that, and I'm a Dolphin fan. All right, and then Seahawks and Rams at plus 650. But I want to go deep. I want to go a little deep. You ready? Jets and Bills, 13-1 to potentially be the highest scoring game. It's third longest from the board. The only other two that are longer, Giants, Commanders at 21-1, and Steelers and Browns. Pickett and Dorian Thompson-Robinson at 34-1. But if you have a new OC and Josh Allen wants to push tempo, you think they're live against Sauce Gardner and the New York Jets secondary?
No. No.
Why not?
Remember when I said you weren't crazy earlier? Now you're
crazy. Nuts, right?
I mean, for both of you, I can't see even a team scoring a lot of points here. You already said it. I don't think Jets are a damn good defense. Probably a playoff team if they had a quarterback. You know, not that I think they would have been a Super Bowl. It's like some people believe here. But I do think they would have been a really good playoff team if Rodgers had stayed healthy. Hell, they're 4-5 without him. It's amazing to me. You know, so, no. That defense is legit here. And Zach Wilson, I mean, it's not all him, mind you. I mean, these games you keep watching. We are living in New York. I'm forced to watch these things. Yeah, they just drop passes there. The offensive line is. I mean, it's really like you and I blocking people. It's just a joke. And so it's not all him. Yes, he's bad, but it's not all him. No, there's no way this is the highest scoring game. I got to tell you, you know, when you were going over the games, and I wasn't going to take the first one you mentioned, the one game I circled was the one you said you had no confidence in. Miami Raiders.
No.
Raiders will score 17 points. Miami can score 50. Miami can score 50 all by themselves if they want. Coming over bye week, Joe?
You know why I disagree? You know why I disagree? Because I don't believe two things. I think Antonio, I think the Raiders are live with the number plus 12 and a half, but I don't think they're alive in terms of the total, and here's why. In order for the Raiders to potentially win this ball game, they can't get into a shootout with Tua in those wideouts. They have to run the football with Josh Jacobs, which, quite honestly, they have done since Antonio Pierce became interim head coach. He had over 80 yards rushing against the Giants, and he had another solid performance against the Jets, didn't he? If I'm not mistaken, I think he was well over 80 yards in that ball game. Or am I on something here? Because I thought he played. So they can't get into a shootout with Tua, not with Aiden O'Connell. I mean, they don't utilize their best Devontae Adams correctly, even though Adams had 80-plus yards against the Jets. I mean, think about it. I mean, Jacobs had 116 against the Jets. So he's coming off back-to-back solid performances, which means the offensive line is getting a push. I think they continue that on the road. I think they're alive with the number. I just don't think they're alive in terms of a total. If that game gets over the total, Miami's blowing them out and covering that number. Is that what you believe?
I think this is all Miami. They're coming over by. A chain is back here. I think this is, 41-14.
Okay.
41-13. Something like that. I think that's being kind.
Really? I think this game looks like, honestly, 27-16, something like that. I think it's
number. Right, I think they'll try and run the ball with Jacobs, because you're going to try. But then once you're down 14-0, that's out the door.
Yeah,
I don't think the Raiders can stop them.
What happens if Las Vegas scores first? They get and we've seen the Miami defense. They give up 14 early to Carolina and Bryce Young before they own. Now, I think Las Vegas, if they jump up 14-0, they're going to be in that ballgame. I don't think Antonio Pierce will give them multiple opportunities to open it up. I think it's an ugly type of game then. I'm not suggesting Las Vegas jumps up 14-0, but if they get an early field goal or touchdown, then it's game on. Let me ask you about these two. 10-1 Vikings in Denver.
It's a night game. I don't want to allow to count this.
No, it's on there. Sundays only. Sundays only.
I don't mind this. I don't mind it. Russell Wilson looks better, right? I think this game, they both score in the 20s. So we're not asking all that much now, get into the high 20s, low 30s for each. I can see this game becoming a sort of a Cleveland-Baltimore game from last week. Maybe we get a pick six thrown in there as well for an easy 7 points. No, I don't mind this one.
So you're on that one. What about this one, Titans and Jags?
Nah, Titans suck.
I love that over. That's the one that I like. I like a 12-1.
I think the Jags rebound, but I think you're going to need a lot of points. Which you might get, by the way. You're going to need a big rebound game from the Jags here.
Okay, the Jags can attack that secondary that's given up 240-plus passing yards per game. And I know Lawrence struggled against Tampa Bay last week.
Lawrence has struggled in the red zone all season long, man. This scares me a little bit. I'm not sure what the problem is there.
I like that at 12-1. What about this one, Bucks and Tampa Bay? Last year, it's a rematch of last year. This is the game that Brady threw like three picks. Remember, before you could blink, Brady and Tampa Bay were down like 35-0 in that ballgame. McCaffrey broke out with a huge performance.
Listen, one thing I'll guarantee you is Christian McCaffrey scoring a touchdown this week, if not multiple touchdowns.
Why? Because he got shut out last week?
Because he got shut out last week to break that streak. He's going to get multiple touchdowns this week. Like I said, I'll go broke on this. You're not going to win much money on it. It'll be minus, I don't know, 180 for it, maybe even more than that. I have no doubt that San Fran's scoring 30-plus. All right? I just don't know what Tampa Bay's doing. That's my issue there. Yeah, you're gonna need this. This to me, this is the Miami game all over again. No doubt that like I said, Miami, San Fran, they're the dominant team. They're gonna score 30 plus. Maybe even get to the high 30s, 40. No doubt. Can we get enough out of the losing team, Raiders/Bucks? I think it's just the same game to me. If you're asking me which game I have more faith in, I'd probably go this one. I'd probably go San Fran, Tampa, because I think Tampa could. You got Mike Evans, you got Godwin, even Rashad White's played well. You've got, and Baker Mayfield, by the way, as far as fantasy-wise, which we're looking for here is points-wise, has been about top eight quarterback over the past 4 to 6 weeks. So he's putting up points as well here. So, yeah, I think you could get NFL points, real points scored in this game.
Here's the thing. It's another thing. If San Francisco open, I like Tampa Bay for the game. I think the back door is going to be open continuously in this matchup. Even if San Fran is up 7, Tampa Bay has shown a propensity to come from behind, at least put up points, right? Put up 38 against C.J. Stroud's defense in terms of Houston. They lose that ball game, but they're still there. They cover a backdoor on the road against Buffalo. They were live. Catching 11.5, I'm not so sure Todd Bowles doesn't at least buckle up. And not, you got to believe that he looked at that tape a little bit last year and says there's no way we could get abused in terms of that matchup, right? I mean, come on.
I mean, I agree. Of course, look at the tape last year, but they're just overmatched. It's at home, and San Fran hasn't played at home in a while. I think this is a wipeout game.
Last game they played at home, they lost to Cincinnati.
Yeah, this is not. I'm sorry. No. I'm not. Even a cover, I think, would be tough here with Tampa, but I don't discount a late cover here. Once again, I guess we could see San Fran take the foot off the gas. Yeah, we get a late backdoor cover, sure, but I mean, I think it's. There's a lot of high spreads this week. And if I was
all right,
going
so
to
let's
pick
take one more
underdog to cover, it would not be Tampa Bay.
All right, let's take this one. Chargers and Packers, plus 950. You have Jordan Love coming off a 289-yard performance, right? He threw it all over the yard against the Steelers secondary. And we know what Justin Herbert and that offense can do. Is it going to be cold in Green Bay? Because if it's cold, I have no confidence in the Chargers putting up points. As a matter of fact, I actually think the Packers could be live in this ballgame.
I think the Packers could be live as well. We've seen the Chargers. They find ways to lose, right? Chargering.
Especially road
NFL
games.
Has a verb named after them. So I think, once again, this could be a live dog here. And what'd you say about I got 44 in chance of showers, by the way. So for Green Bay, that's, that's pretty much July 4th weather. You'll take that run here. So I don't think you're worried about weather all that
could
much.
Could be a big game for Dylan and Jones. Could be a big game for Dylan and Jones, right? Think about that for a second.
Who's this Dylan guy you're talking about? Is he still playing in the NFL?
Oh, stop. He ripped off 70
yards last week. He's been
terrible. How was he terrible? He had 70 yards rushing, Georgie boy. What are you talking about?
Terrible.
Why do you think he's terrible? Because
what we were expecting of him, he's been god awful.
His thighs, his quads intimidate Georgie boy.
Godzilla.
All right. You're not buying in, huh? In any way. Not buying in.
I know. I think this is a lower scoring game. I do. I think it's a lower scoring game. I think this is a. I think if we get to something like 24-20, I'd be surprised. I think this is some grind-out game. I do think it – listen, I don't think it should be that way because we know the way to attack the Chargers is through the air. I put that ball in the air. They have no secondary. They can't stop anybody. But I don't know if I trust the floor to do it.
All right, lowest scoring game. You want to take a shot on what that is?
I guess Giants-Washington.
Steelers, Browns, then Giants, Washington.
32 and oh my God. I'm not watching this.
There you go. Oh man, I see my over for the week. I see it clear as day. I'm laser focused. I'm just locked in, Georgie. I love some totals this week. Love them. Love the totals. Is there one game, because I'm not going to speak to you, is there one game you like this weekend?
As far as?
Anything. Spread, total, give it to me.
Listen, I'm going to go with my Cowboys. I love the Cowboys in the teaser. I think there's several teaser opportunities here. Take the Cowboys -4.5. Take San Fran -5. I'm going to go teaser crazy this weekend with all these high spreads.
We'll come back and wrap it up. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, yeah. Wrapping it up. Love talking with George Kurtz, especially when we're talking about NFL. George, I left off. So you like teaser opportunities in terms of your best bets for the NFL. I heard what you like. You like Dallas. You like Arizona. How you buying into Kyler Murray?
I didn't say Arizona.
The Kool-Aid already, right?
One
game back, he gets a victory, and that's it. I think they get smashed by Houston. How about that? I think they get absolutely boat raced by the Texans. What do you think about that?
I did not say Arizona, by the way, so scratch that.
What did you say?
I said San Fran. I like San Fran. I like Washington this week. If you want to bring them down to 3.5, you know, Giants are terrible.
Giants are terrible, but Ron Rivera as a 9.5-point favorite, that is like a no automatic.
Teaser, bring it down to 3.5. Sam Howell will probably lose the game outright. He's gutless.
Rivera is gutless. Seriously. Come on.
Rivera's going to be fired. He won't be there next year. Don't worry about it.
Does Bieniemy get
Are you
job?
Buying Bill Belichick, maybe? Could Belichick go to Washington?
No.
Raiders? Could he go to the Raiders?
I'm hearing Belichick to the Chargers. What do you think about that?
Ooh, that's a good one, too. If Staley, he'd have a cool, wow. I kind of like this. That's sort of like Brady going to Tampa Bay, a ready-made team, right? Or he was quarterback.
I read that he likes, and I don't know how true the report is, Belichick likes the L.A. area. He's got a quarterback that's proven, and their defense sucks, and it'll probably be exactly what he's got in New England. Because their defense is not, they're completely overrated on both sides of the ball. And you know what? He's the only one to blame. Because he built this team. George, if I don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving. For George Kurtz, our great producer, Matthias Burbell, I'm Joe Lisi. Carver will be back tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a great day, everyone.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
When she said, "I don't dance now, I make money moves," that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist, 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.
This episode sponsored by Little Words Project. Your jewelry should say something about you. That's why people love Little Words Project. These are handcrafted bracelets designed around meaningful words like courage, balance, mama, and breathe. Little reminders you can wear every single day. And somehow, the right word always seems to show up at the right time. They're colorful, stackable, personal, and designed to help you carry your intention with you, whether you're heading into a hard season, celebrating a big moment, or just trying to protect your peace a little better. Plus, every bracelet includes a registration code, so you can pass it on someday and keep the story moving. Right now, build your stack or create a custom bracelet at littlewordsproject.com. Little Words Project. Your word, your wrist, your story.